Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, February 24th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen in Schenectady, New York, a very popular guest the first time she was on the show back in October or November. My memory is very sketchy. The Moroccan restaurant got its start as a cultural boutique in Schenectady back in 2008, and now it's expanding elsewhere, and we'll hear more about that after the break. Anissa Waheed is here. Give us a call now, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We'll take your calls and have some food after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen back to the program. After spending 14 years in Manhattan, Anissa returned to Schenectady. In 2008, Anissa and her husband opened a Moroccan and Indian boutique named Tara. Then in January 2012, Tara Kitchen opened its doors at 431 Liberty Street. The Daily Gazette has rated it a top five restaurant, and it has been ranked among the top 25 by both the Albany Business Review and the Times Union. A great guest the first time. Can you do it twice in a row? Anissa, welcome back to Food Friday.
Thank you so much for having me again, Ray.
And I can't believe you said you were nervous last time. You were such a cool, calm customer.
Being a chef trains me to be cool, calm.
I like it. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. Before we start, I must say that the preserved lemons that I tried the first time, and I think it was in September, October.
October, yeah.
The taste of them have been ingrained in my brain for all this time. And I'm so happy to see you brought some because I'll probably eat the whole jar right here. And you're not supposed to eat them by themselves.
You're not supposed to, but you can. They're so yummy. And I think the flavor of them is so unique.
That's the thing.
It's not like people think you can just squeeze fresh lemon juice into a pot of chicken and olives. And no, you can't do that. Or you can't substitute just lemon rind. It has to go through that lactic fermentation process to develop that flavor.
It's so good. And the apricot prune sauce,
yeah.
I told you this, we got a jar and we made chicken in a crock pot with it.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. Even my finicky, annoying children enjoyed it.
That's awesome. I created that sauce originally to sort of distill the flavors of what Moroccan cuisine is, with the idea that you could feed it to kids who were picky and, you know, still give them some of the ethnic flavors. It's mild, it's flavorful, it's not scary, it's fruity, and it's one of our top sellers.
Definitely not scary.
No, it's not scary.
So things are, you're expanding, you're moving to another location.
Yeah, we're going to be opening a new location in Troy.
You'll stay in Schenectady as well, though, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
This is not a move, this is just an expansion.
Wow.
So we're going to have our second location in Troy within the next few weeks. We're in construction, remodeling right now. So
it's got to be
exciting.
Somewhat nerve-wracking to open up another one.
Certainly. Of course. I'd be dumb not to think that it wasn't or not to experience that. It is, but, you know, it's something that we've been thinking and planning for a while, and I think timing is everything. So my husband and I, we sort of map out what we're going to do within the next year or 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and then we go to it.
Tell us about the new location. Will you have sit-in, or will it be just a store location?
Yeah, it'll be very similar to our Schenectady location, and we wanted to sort of maintain the look, feel, atmosphere, of course, the food quality that people are so used to in Schenectady. So we spent a long time looking for that right space, and I'm really happy that we found it. And so it'll have a very similar footprint to Schenectady. It seats about 40. It has an open kitchen, great little corner on River Street, right by Congress. So it has a very, very similar feeling. I mean, I just felt right when I walked into that place.
For those who didn't hear the first time you were on,
yeah,
I was floored by the fact that 15, 20 years ago, this was not even a glint in your eye.
No.
You were publishing.
Yes.
And so how, again, tell those who have never heard you before, you got to this spot where now you're opening a second location.
Yeah, it's really incredible. I think the entrepreneur bug in me probably has been there probably since I was 3 years old. You know, I used to watch my mom, who's just a housewife in India, make jars of pickle and sell it to the neighbors. And she was really good at it. And people kept demanding more. So I saw that growing up. My parents are incredibly hardworking people. So we have the work ethic. And as I was growing up and, you know, thinking about what I wanted to do in life and those kind of things, it was never clear to me. I never knew what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I struggled with that for a long time. I think all the way up to my 30s, which is shocking.
It's not shocking. I mean, you go to a radio station filled with underachievers who have no idea what they're doing.
But I think I knew that I wanted to do something where I could be my own boss, and I needed to find that niche. And I have a creative background. I've always been very creative. Went to school for design and fine arts, those sort of things. So, but cooking, I kind of accidentally discovered it. It wasn't something that I set out and said, I'm going to be a chef someday or own a restaurant someday. I just, I love what I do, but it came to me very accidentally.
Did your mom, when you were young,
yeah,
say, all right, try this. Try helping me with this. Let's work on this.
Not a lot, because I was quite a klutz.
Really?
So, yeah. So my big job at home always, as I was maybe like 13, was to chop onions, because onions don't make me tear. So I can chop.
Now, why is that?
I don't. I'm a freak.
You're a mutant? Oh, well done. Wouldn't be the first one on our airwaves.
So I remember chopping a ton of onion because it doesn't bother me. But other than that, she really handed the reins of the house cooking to my sister. And I was okay because I just got to sit and eat.
But you absorbed it.
Yeah. And I think that when I was working in publishing, I'd come home, turn on the TV to the Food Network. And I tell this to everybody. Everything I knew about running a restaurant or cooking and all, you know, running a business, I learned from TV, is just watching Channel 42.
Really?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
No.
So there are valuable lessons
absolutely
to be learned.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can learn a lot of stuff from what the chefs are doing, what they're talking, comments, looking at shows. And I didn't realize just how obsessive I was about the Food Network. I'd come home every single day, and that's what I did. So it came to me very late in life, and now it feels incredibly natural.
Well, it's been 5 years. And by the way, we're talking with Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen. If you want to give us a call, it's 800-348-2551. It's been 5 years since you opened.
Mm-hmm.
What things have you learned as far as running your own restaurant and retail stuff?
I think a lot of it is time management.
Yeah.
Just making sure that, you know, you are not overextending yourself, and managing your time properly and prioritizing what needs to be done and not. And I think the second thing would be managing people.
Yeah.
You know, when it's just
you. Are you a tyrant?
I am a tyrant.
I believe it.
Well,
I see. A benevolent dictator. All right.
One of my cooks, he described me to his mom, and he told me this. He's like, yeah, she is one of the most lovable monsters you'll meet. So I'm a tyrant in the sense that I like things done. I like them done right. I like focus. It's when you're working, that kind of stuff. So I run a tight ship.
It's going to be then difficult for you to run two places 20 miles apart.
Yeah.
How do you maintain that control?
Well, I think by having the right people on your team. So we have an incredibly amazing team in Schenectady, and they do a great job. And we've already identified and hired a great chef, Josh Gabri, if you're listening, Josh, who's going to come on board and help us manage Troy. And he and I have worked a lot in the past. We've partnered. He's been somebody that I've been craving to kind of have on my team, but the timing was never right, and now it is. So it'll be great. And I think that my background in workflow management and putting processes in place really helps with this, because we have a process that we're going to duplicate, and that's how we're going to grow. So it's not that I'm slaving away behind a stove and every day making the tagine and hoping it turns out right. We have a process. We have procedures that we follow, and, you know, so that's what's going to come in handy.
That's so funny. So many times I'll see a chef on this program who looks tired.
Yeah.
You don't look tired. How much sleep do you get?
About 12 hours a night.
I'm sorry, 12 hours
a
night?
Yeah.
I've never talked to anyone aside from Shartok who gets 12 hours a night. That's amazing. And so how do you do it? Well, I guess it must help that your husband also works in the company. You can manage the...
I'm really only...
He gets 2 hours
a
night.
I'm the better half, but I'm still the other half.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So you know what it is you have to take care of yourself in order for everything else to kind of function properly. And I truly believe that. And I use that mantra you hear in the airplanes, put on your oxygen mask first, then help your child, right?
Ah.
So, and I believe that in everything that you do. If I'm not on it every single minute of the day, my team would not function, my family would not function, and nothing would work. So I have to really be on top of my health and, you know, what I'm eating, what I'm not doing, how much rest I'm getting. Otherwise, none of it would work. So.
Anissa Waheed is our guest of Tara Kitchen in Schenectady, soon to be in Troy. Clearly one of the up-and-coming entrepreneurs in the world and will be here either in a Learjet or some sort of a limo next time she's here. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday. And yeah, there's food. We'll talk about that coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Viva Fresh Pasta. 30 years and 30 wines by the glass. European cuisine infused with flavors of the world. Northampton, Massachusetts. Grab life by the knife and fork. VivaFreshPasta.com. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts. Preparing weddings, showers, reunions, and more at the Curtis House with 3 B&B rooms available or at the recently renovated barn, Farm to Vase Florals. Information at GloriosaCO.com. Silver Bay YMCA Conference and Family Retreat Center on Lake George, New York. Open to all for family reunions, conferences, and personal retreats. SilverBay.org. Glenwood, supporting community-supported agriculture and the Hudson Valley CSA Coalition. February 24th is National CSA Sign-Up Day. HudsonValleyCSA.org/findafarm. And Harold's Ice Cream, Thorns Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Dairy and no-moo dairy-free, handmade artisan ice cream, sweet baked goods, hot fudge, and more, harolds.com.
It's Vox Pop Food Friday with Ray Graff and you. 800-348-2551 is the phone number. Our guest today in a return engagement, Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen in Schenectady, soon to be in Troy. And before we get to the food, we'll read one that came in via email who says, Happy Food Friday. I heard the show in November when you were on, Anissa, and I ended up buying tagine for Christmas. Oh, we talked about that, right?
Okay.
It's fun and we love it. I even won a cook-off with my orange salmon at a party a few weeks ago. Imagine going to a party that has a cook-off.
That's awesome.
I have trouble imagining going to a party. No one invites. So here's my question. I'm looking for recipes that are less sweet and more savory, and can we cook Indian food in the tagine? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, tagine.
Any ideas you have would be greatly appreciated. And that's from Aaron in Albany.
Hi, Aaron. It's great that you're starting to cook with the tagine. And honestly, you can do anything in there. You can make stir fries. You can make chicken tikka masala. I mean, it's just a cooking vessel. So in terms of that part of your question, absolutely. I use it at home to make omelets. I use it for a quick meal. Most Moroccan recipes do call for some sort of a sweet element. But if you're working with preserved lemons, or if you look for recipes that have shermoula in it, like tomato shermoula or parsley shermoula, then they're not going to be on the sweeter side. And also maybe pick up a book by Paula Wolford, who's extensive. I think it's like 600 pages of recipes, and she's got a lot of stuff there that don't have sweet.
Paula Wolford.
Okay. Yeah.
Karen
Meyer, she runs a blog out of California. She's got some great recipes. You can obviously look at my blog.
And what is your website address?
TaraKitchen.com.
And there's a link?
Yeah, there's a blog, a food blog there with recipes. And I have a cooking channel too on YouTube, so there are some recipes on there.
And you sleep 12 hours a night?
I do.
Crazy talk.
Good at time management.
By the way, we do have a link to your website on our Food Friday page, so if you forget anything we say, you can go to WAMC.org and then hit the Food Friday page and find a link. What food did you bring?
So I have today a chicken with mixed vegetables and apricot prune sauce.
Oh, I love the apricot prune sauce.
Yep. And a fish with spicy date and some raisins. Mm-hmm. And a cauliflower with potatoes and black olives. So these are all dishes that I created using Moroccan flavors. These are not traditionally found in Moroccan cuisine, but, you know, this is something that I kind of started creating once I was in the restaurant space.
That's interesting. So you taught a course recently.
A lecture.
One lecture.
At Union.
And one of the things you talked about is how once you're in America cooking, regardless of what recipe, it is no longer exactly pure.
That's true. And I think it was an interesting class talking about history of food and what's authentic and not authentic. And we talked about how authentic is any food outside of its country.
Yeah.
And that was really interesting to me because, of course, what I try to do at the restaurant or what any ethnic restaurant tries to do is we want the new people, so to speak, the foreign people, to experience your cuisine, your culture, and make it as authentic as possible. But then you're limited. You're limited with the ingredients you can buy. You're limited by how the ingredients taste. Chicken will never taste the same in America as it does in Morocco. Right? It
What's
just
the
doesn't
difference?
Have chicken. I think it's just the air, the earth, the water.
I think you're onto something.
Yeah, the way they grow them, you know. Things are so much smaller. I remember being in India recently and in the bazaar buying some groceries, and I picked up a berry, and I was like, oh, what kind of berry is this? And they said, no, it's a lemon. And this small? Right? And in America, a lemon is like the head of, the size of the head of a small child. So I was really surprised that was a lemon. And it's so interesting. So I think that what I have to contend with is how can I translate those recipes and that feel of that food in America, in Schenectady, and make it work.
And it's the feel that's the key.
It's the feel that's the key. Correct.
Our number is 800-348-2551. Anissa Wahid of Tara Kitchen is here. And Harvey in Clarksburg, Mass. Is first. Harvey.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I got a 3-year-old little girl that has an allergy to soy and dairy. And I just introduced her to chicken tikka masala. And she loves that.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to figure out different dishes that I can make for her because mommy, on the other hand, I don't think it's so hot on all the spices.
Oh.
Keep
working on mommy. Spices definitely take hold.
Gently introduce her to spices.
That's right.
A teaspoon at a time. But Moroccan food, actually, Harvey, is great for people with allergies. And one of the original reasons I got into Moroccan food was because it's so allergy friendly. You can make all of the dishes that we serve at the restaurant, and we have something like 50 tagines we do, are soy free, dairy free, nut free, sesame free, peanut free. And, you know, it's just incredible. So if you look for Moroccan recipes, most often you will find that they do not use any soy product, and most often not a lot of dairy product, maybe eggs, of course. But other than that, really not a lot of dairy. There's no cheese. So you're safe using Moroccan ingredients.
What would be a good kid-friendly, something that would something lighter on the spices, that would something that a child would also enjoy?
Yeah, you know what my 3-year-old started to love when we introduced her to all this stuff was fish with honey. I don't know if your daughter will eat fish, but try it with chicken. So we just take a little bit of onions, parsley, garlic, season it with honey and paprika and some ras el hanou and just some salt. And it's really gentle. Kids love it. It's a great way to introduce spices to them.
Harvey, I got to say, just from personal experience of having 5 children myself, the Moroccan apricot and prune sauce on anything It's a great cooking. I mean, I swear to you, we did chicken with it, and it was a huge hit. And if all five like every like something, any one thing, you can consider it a smashing success.
Okay, well, then I'm going to have to write that down. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. Bad connection, but we appreciate it. 800-348-2551. I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
I'm not a cauliflower fan, so if I like this, then you've really done something. You know what? It's my job. I will try
you
it.
You will try
What's
it.
What's in the cauliflower dish again?
It's got some potatoes, tomato shermoula, which is a tomato-based marinade sauce.
That'll cover up the cauliflower.
There you go. Black olives.
I love
it's
that.
Vegan. It's very, very popular.
All right. On the next break, I will try it.
All right.
And I'll
good.
Give you my honest appraisal. All right. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Anissa Wahid of Tara Kitchen is here. Donna in Woodstock. Donna.
Hi. My child, who's now 31, when I was feeding him baby food, I used to cook lamb with peppers and onions and curry powder. I forgot to tell you first. And curry powder and grind it up in the Happy Baby Food Grinder. And he loved it, and he's a great cook now. And I just texted him to listen to this.
Oh, good.
Well, maybe. If he's awake, he's another person that needs a lot of sleep.
2:30 in the afternoon? That's the life of Riley right there. Good for him.
Well, it depends on when he went to bed, because I think we're on Hawaii time.
Oh, he's in Hawaii. Oh, okay, fair enough. Sense. Well, Donna, thanks for that call.
Oh, thank you for your everything.
Have a great weekend. Bye-bye. 800-348-2551, the telephone number. This is one I did not see that you brought last time, and maybe you did. It's parsley shermoula.
Shermoula, yeah.
Yeah, and what is that?
So parsley shermoula is generally used as a marinade in Moroccan cooking for fish. So I kind of created this recipe that you can use with anything, but it's made with fresh parsley, onions, garlic. Think a basil pesto minus all the nuts and cheese, that kind of stuff, right? So it's bright, it's herby. You can bake with it. And at the restaurant, we just serve it with some warm pita bread.
Oh,
it's
fantastic.
Delicious right out of the jar, yeah.
Oh, well, can I open it and just take a sniff?
Yeah. It's got nigella seeds, which have an incredible flavor, very unique.
That smells great. All right, well, note to self, try that in a moment, too. We'll go back to the phones in a moment here. 800-348-2551. We have, I guess, Mark in Schenectady. I don't know if Mark's ready. Are you there, Mark in Schenectady?
Yes, and people usually call me Dog.
Dog.
D-O-G.
All right,
Dog,
you're up.
Hi, Dog, I remember you.
Hey, Dog, Anissa, how are you?
I'm great.
That dinner last night was unbelievably good. Everything was great. The appetizers, all four of the separate, unbelievable.
You're a ringer. Okay. Is she paying you,
yes,
Dog?
No, I'm not a ringer. I'm from Maine.
Oh,
I'm in town visiting three friends, and the food was great. It was the best restaurant experience I've had in probably 20 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Good heavens.
Wow. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
At least you don't sound like you're reading it, so that's great.
Yeah, Anissa, it was great to talk with you, and the wait staff was so friendly, and, you know, it was really a terrific experience.
Thank you so much, Dog.
Hey, Dog, where are you from in Maine?
We live in Anson, Maine, which is on the way to Sugarloaf. It's about 25 miles north of Waterville. It's 105 miles north of Portland.
Oh, fantastic. I always get to southern Maine in the summertime. We go down to York or go up to York. And my second favorite state in the whole world. Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go over to Steve in Schenectady. Steve, you're on.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Hey, Anissa, this is Steve from Gatherers Granola.
Oh, hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Hey, what I was calling about is I just was curious. I haven't heard the whole program, but have you talked at all about your line of sauces and charred things that you're selling out locally
and what you're
doing with that?
Yeah, no, we talked about it last time, and we've been touching on it this time as well. Yes, definitely.
So where do you get those, or where are you into now in terms of selling
In
those?
Terms of distribution, we're in the entire Northeast region of Whole Foods. So we're all the way up to the Canadian border. We're doing a ton of the Price Choppers locally. We're doing all the forager markets in New York City. All the local food co-ops, Niskuna Food Co-op, of course, Honest Wade, you know. And we just got in front of the North Atlantic region of Whole Foods as well.
No, fantastic.
So that will roll out sometime in May, which will be very exciting, yes.
Wow, you are going to have a limo. Steve, thanks a lot for the call. Obviously, I'll say I know her. Let's go to Eve's on the road. You're on. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
You're on.
Okay, this is Eve from Albany.
Okay.
I'm on the road right now, and I'm also on a fast. Like, this is my 18th day. But listening to her, it's like I'm getting hungry.
Sorry about that.
Once I get off my fast, I want to know, does she have a buffet? A lunch buffet?
Oh.
No, we don't do a buffet. We're tiny, tiny footprint of a restaurant. We're like about 800 square feet, so not really a buffet.
Okay.
That's spoken like a man
all
who's
right.
on an eight-day fast. He wants a buffet. He wants everything.
No, no.
Oh, sorry. We lost you there. Let's go to Nina in Warwick. Nina.
Hi. Great show.
Thanks.
I have a question about this prune apricot sauce. Could you either do I have to make it or is it pre-made? Could I buy it somewhere?
Oh,
or?
Yeah,
oh yeah, you
jar.
Can buy it. We make that. It's all natural, preservative-free, and it's really ready to use out of the jar. So you open the jar, throw it with some chicken, vegetables, lentils, whatever you want to do, and just stir it up. You can buy them through Amazon. You can buy them through a Whole Foods near you. Or my website. Yeah, they're available multiple different ways.
So delicious, indeed. Yep. That's one of
is
our favorites.
Is that considered the Indian side, or is that the Moroccan?
No, all the sauces that we make are all Moroccan.
Okay. No, it sounds really good. I didn't know if it came pre-made. So maybe I could look online also. Maybe this is, I'm down in Warwick, so I don't really know.
Yeah, the easiest way.
Here, but
easiest way, Nina, to get to the Tara website at this point for you, if you can remember WAMC.org, go to our website,
yes.
And we have a link to Tara Kitchen right there. And then from there, you can launch anywhere you want to go.
All right. Thanks so much.
Hey, have a great weekend. So the spice, this jar of spice.
Ras Al Hanou.
I'm going to say it Ras Al Hanou.
Yeah, perfect.
There you go. And what's in it?
So this is my secret blend, right?
Oh, and so you're not going to say?
No, the ingredients are listed there. I have to call
it. It's not really a secret, is it?
Well, the proportions.
Oh, okay.
You can take exactly those same ingredients and not arrive at my recipe.
You make a point.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Ras Al Hanou in Arabic translates to the head of a spice shop. So every spice shop in Morocco, the owner there will have his own secret blend that he's, trying to sell or perfect. And when I started working with Moroccan food, again, the idea of time management and not having to have multiple different seasonings for multiple different dishes, I just created and started working with my blend, which we use for every single thing in the restaurant. So
Everything.
So the two things that are in my spice box at the box at the restaurant are Ras Al Hanou and salt.
Okay.
So that's it. We season our vegetarian stuff or non-vegetarian stuff. We grill with it. Every single thing.
I would open it, but I'm such a klutz that the top would go and it would be all over the computer and the.
It's really gentle. It's not spicy at all. So it's got a lot of flavor. It's got fenugreek leaves. It's got ginger. It's got paprika. It's got lots of great flavor without being spicy. So I know people who, including myself, we use it for breakfast. When I travel with my kids, I have to bring a jar of that.
Really?
They can tell the difference when mom's not cooking.
Do they put it on their cereal and everything else?
My kids don't eat cereal.
Really? Never? No Count Chocula?
No.
No Captain Crunch?
No.
My heavens. It is a different world. Let's go to Roger and Troy. Roger, you're on.
Hi there. So my question is, I've never heard of Tara Kitchen. I just caught the show. And is it more of like a sit-down restaurant, or do you guys have like type of fast food options where somebody can just walk in, grab something really quick, and take off?
So we are a sit-down restaurant. And having said that, our lunch menu is designed to be a very fast in, fast out type of situation. We do a tremendous amount of turnover at lunch. So you get lots of kebabs, you can get some rolls, you can get like a flatbread pizza. So it gives you an introduction into our food. Dinner is a different affair. So it's more of a sit-down, enjoy, we build tagine. Each person's individually tagine gets put on the stove, and then we bring. So it's it feels very different. You know, we're not a fancy sort of get dressed up kind of place, but we certainly have you know.
You have to wear pants.
You do have to wear pants. We like pants.
That's good.
Pants
are
good.
Yeah.
So I mean, you're not, say, like, Pex Arcade fancy.
No, we're not Pex Arcade.
I just go all the time to, like, Troy Kitchen, just grab something and then go back to work type of thing.
Yeah, so I would say we're in between.
Even 10.
Yeah, both those places are great, good friends of ours. But, yeah, we're a different kind of experience, but some place where you can come hang out and, you know, just kind of chill for a couple hours on a night.
That's nice. Roger, thank you for the call. And our number here is 800-348-2551. So you say you came up with this.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get it perfect?
A couple of years, to be
really?
Honest with you. Yes. Yeah, probably, yeah, definitely a couple of years. I mean, I've been cooking Moroccan food since 2007, after my initial trip in 2006. So what I did was I'd buy all the different spices that the recipes called for. And another difficult thing for me, having the Indian background and cooking Indian food all the time, was not to try and make it Indian. Because that was a big struggle for me initially. Everything I cooked ended up tasting Indian. And I'm like,
what's wrong with that?
Well, because I was trying to make Moroccan food. But in my head,
Indian's good.
Indian's great. I look great because I eat Indian food all the time, right? So I grew up eating that food.
And
there's
you're so modest,
wrong.
Too.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It's fantastic. Let's take a break right here with the very modest Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Spirit House Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Rolling Rock Farm Gourmet Salts, Peppers, and Blends, Sheffield, Massachusetts, now offering Sex on the Beef, a topping of sea salt, peppercorns, black garlic, black truffles, and mushrooms, rollingrocksalt.com. Umana Restaurant and Wine Bar, Albany, New York, featuring international cuisine, Ethiopian specials, and eclectic wines, private parties, Tuesday through Sunday, the meeting place for all people, umanarestaurant.com. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. And Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, now in winter season, featuring farm fresh produce and handmade goods every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. inside the Troy Atrium, troymarket.org.
WAMC has learned that Anissa Waheed is actually a genius because I ate cauliflower and I liked it. It's really good. All right. Love the onions in that. Love the potato. What else is in there?
It's got tomato shermoula, which is a very basic Moroccan cooking ingredient.
Not very spicy.
Not very spicy, just great flavor. And we have black olives and some raisins. So it's really, really simple recipe to do. You could do this at home.
If my wife could have seen me eat cauliflower, yeah. She may have dropped dead. Amazing, because that never happens.
Oh, that's awesome.
Really delicious. All right, well, let's get a couple of emails in here, and then we'll get back to the phones. 800-348-2551. This one is from Kate, who says, you mentioned allergy-free food. Do you have some gluten-free foods? And are your jarred foods also gluten-free?
Yeah, so all of our jars are gluten-free. We are working on our gluten-free certification, so that should show up on the labels pretty soon. But we are gluten-free. We work in a facility that's 100% gluten-free. So that's, you know, it was very important to me that we kind of hit a lot of those allergy points when I was creating the sauce. It took me about well over a year to create the line.
As a marketing tool or as a philosophical tool? Why would you want to strive to be gluten-free?
I think both, because when I was doing the food booth at the Schenectady Farmers Market, which is where I got started, the Green Market, I was talking to so many people and realizing that a lot of people have a lot of allergies, that they're trying to avoid food, and then they're not able to eat a lot of ethnic food because they contain all these ingredients that they're trying to avoid.
Yeah.
So it stuck with me, and I knew that if I created a product that I wanted to reach the masses, that I'd have to address that immediately. It was also important for me to do stuff that was preservative free and all natural, mm-hmm. and that's how I eat, that's how I want my kids to eat, that's how I want to feed people. So the entire menu at the restaurant is gluten free, except we do have pita bread, which has gluten in it. So in theory, you could get a tagine and eat it with rice, and you know, you would be gluten free. Yeah.
All right, there you go. And then Peter writes, do you have a Troy address and location yet? And you do.
We do. We are currently renovating 172 River Street, Suite A. So, yeah, we should be opening within the next few weeks.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
Yes.
Let's go back to the phones. And Adam in Rotterdam. Adam, you're on.
Hi there. How's it going? It's a great show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, you mentioned the Ras Hanout. Actually, I was born and raised in Morocco my first 20 years. I spent it in Morocco. And the Ras Hanout, actually, mom, whenever she visits or when I go to Morocco, Ras Hanout, actually, as far as they know, there were like three options. Like the Ras Hanout that you put in fish,
yeah,
it's not the same that you put in meat. It's not the same that you put in chicken.
Yes.
I just had some question if you can elaborate on that.
Well, no, absolutely. I mean, there are many, 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 many kinds of Ras El Hanout that, as you know, are available in Morocco. But like I was talking to Ray about this, one of the reasons why I created my recipe to sort of be an all-rounder is to have more efficiency in the kitchen and the restaurant. So on a night when we're doing 100, 150, sometimes, you know, 170 covers, I wanted the process to be incredibly simple in the kitchen and not be bogged down by having to have many different sort of spice jars or spices in the kitchen, right? And that's really why I came up with this one.
Is that a common way to go? Just to have one house spice?
I don't think so. I think that that's something that I did because efficiency is so important to me. And, you know, that was something that I really thought about is how are we going to address the problem of having... Plus, we work in a restaurant that literally has the same footprint as a postage stamp. So I had to think about how are we going to keep our four different kinds of spices and where are we going to keep them? We have one fridge and one freezer in the entire restaurant, and we have to get food delivered two or three times a week so we can keep everything stored. So those are all things that came into play. And when I was creating this recipe, I tweaked it routinely. So that I could use it across the board, and it would just be easier. I think this actually leads right into what is authentic, right?
Right.
Because in Morocco, somebody might have a heart attack if they saw me use my lamb Ras El Hanout on my fish.
Right.
Exactly. But I think that we had to create that efficiency to be a little bit more efficient in the production aspect of the restaurant.
Adam, thank you very much for the call. And our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. And yet, in your two appearances here, everything you bring, you have such varied taste palettes for all different things. And yet it all goes back to
that one spice blend.
When you make the spice blend, and you said it took you years to get it just the way you want, kind of like McDonald's special sauce.
Yeah.
It probably took chemists years and years. But once you have that, do you have a chemical recipe? Do you have X number of grams of this? And
Absolutely. It's completely measured.
It's locked in a safe?
It's locked in a safe. And there's only one other company that has access to that because we used to hand blend every batch of the Ras El Hanout in the restaurant. But right now we go through about 100 pounds of Ras El Hanout.
That's a lot.
That's a lot in like 2 months.
How much will you put in a dish?
Not a lot.
On average.
Yeah, maybe like in an 8-inch tagine, about a teaspoon.
And you go through 100 pounds in a couple of months.
It's incredible. That's our volume of how many tahines we're making.
Wow.
Well, we also use it in our sauces, and you know, all our sauces use our Rasal Hanu as well. So we jar it and sell a tremendous amount of it.
That's incredible.
So we do. So eventually, it got to the point where I had to start working with a spice company who was actually blending it in big kettles for me, and then they ship it over.
How can you maintain quality control and make sure they're getting it right?
We sample test every single batch. We have an agreed upon, locked in recipe that they use and prepare in every batch that comes in. I test it immediately to make sure it's right on track. Yeah.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Anissa Wahid of Tara Restaurant in Schenectady, soon to be in Troy as well. Sherry on the Mass Pike, you're on.
Hi, yes. If I come to Tara's Kitchen, I'm vegetarian, and I'm also allergic to some fish, and I don't eat chicken, obviously. Would you be able to accommodate vegetarian, making sure that there's no residual from fish or shellfish or whatever?
Sherry, that's a great question, and one that we often get, because not just people are trying to avoid shellfish, but also people are trying to avoid gluten. I will say this. We make every single attempt not to cross-contaminate anything, but we can't guarantee it because of the size of our kitchen. I think the size of my kitchen is about maybe 50, 60 square feet. So it's super tight, and there's just no way possible for me to guarantee that some element of cross-contamination is. We follow all the health code rules and regulations.
Right.
We do every single thing that we're required to do. But legally, I can't say to you that that's something that, you know, we can guarantee.
But you try.
Absolutely. We take every single precaution. And that's what I say to my celiac customers as well. We have a lot of people with celiac disease who eat with us. Every attempt is made to not cross-contaminate. But because of our size, it's nearly impossible. We don't have different stations, so to speak, for every single protein.
Is the new Troy location a little bit bigger?
Just by half a postage stamp.
So everybody must know each other very well on your staff.
Very well, and if we can't all be within, breath away from each other and not like each other, it doesn't work.
And yet, you're called a tyrant. It's amazing, and they still like
you.
It's incredible. Of course, you run the place. Let's go to Stephanie in Sunderland, Mass. Stephanie, you're on with Anissa Wahid.
Hi. I'm calling because I ran across a recipe a few years ago that called for preserved lemons, and I was really excited to make them, but unfortunately, by the time they were ready, I no longer had that recipe. Can you give me any ideas of what I could do with them if I make them again?
Sure. I mean, preserved lemons, you can literally use them in anything that you're doing every day, right? Throw them in stews, put them on fish. So once you start using them, but I think a classic way to prepare them would be to cook them with some chicken, some olives, and some Rasal Hanu seasoning and some garlic, and to really appreciate their flavor and to really kind of understand what they're doing. And once you understand what that flavor profile is, it's not lemon, it's not lime, it's not salt. It's just really, really, truly unique. Then you'll be able to, move forward and then use it in other things. People.
All right, thank you very much.
Stews, yeah.
And you said, I believe the last time, and again, my memory is pretty poor, that you don't use very much in a dish.
No. Yeah, they're fairly strong. I mean, sometimes I find that based on just how the lemons are, maybe you might need a little bit more than a little bit less. I think I'm training a new cook in the kitchen, and that's one of the things we were talking about last night, is it's a hard ingredient to figure out. It's not like every single time you use that slice of lemon from a different jar, it's going to be the same. It's not. It just is such a truly handcrafted, unique product that you have to first taste it and then see how much you're going to use.
Next time you're on,
yeah,
we will have tried some different recipes that will probably appall you. Let's go to Suha in, I don't know, where are you calling from?
That's my daughter.
Hello, you got to turn the radio down a little bit.
I'm calling from Tara Kitchen. Hi, Sushi.
Hi, Anissa. What are you even doing?
Honey, I'm doing an interview on the radio.
I thought you... Mommy! I thought you said you were going to the doctor.
I did, and then I came here.
Well,
She'll be home soon.
Very soon. I'm going to see you guys real soon.
Almost
Bye.
Done.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. We'll see you next time. Wow, that rarely happens. So those are your little ones.
Yes. Oh my 4 and a half and almost 6 next month.
Whoa, it goes fast, doesn't it?
It's great. Love it.
That was one of my favorite calls of all time. I got to be honest with you. I don't know if anyone can top that. We still have a few minutes. 800-348-2551.
When I saw Suha, I said, oh, that's my daughter's name. I didn't know it would be Suha.
That is so great. So your husband obviously put her up to that.
Yeah. No, she calls me all the time.
Really?
She calls me all the time.
And that's the young one or the 6-year-old?
The young one.
And she does okay on the phone?
She just figured out how to operate the house phone, and she knows she's got to dial 1 before she can dial out, so now I get calls from the house phone all the time.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, I remember at the station here one time, one of my daughters was 2 or 3 and must have hit redial on the phone. Couldn't get her off the phone. An hour. The guys in the newsroom were like, will you shut up already? It was very funny. All right, anyway, if you're 3 and you want to give us a call, go right ahead. 800-348-2551 is the number. Only a few moments left with Anissa Waheed. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you're having fun, it works out very well.
Great.
Having cauliflower. So the new place will open up in a few weeks or a month.
Yeah.
Any changes to the menu coming?
I think one of the things we're going to try in Troy, which we've not done in Schenectady, is do a Moroccan brunch on the weekends.
Oh, fantastic.
So most of the menu will be pretty consistent, between Troy and Schenectady. But I think the new thing is going to be our brunch menu on the weekends.
Well, that sounds great. Let's go to Liz in Troy. Liz, you're on.
Hi. I was just curious. I've eaten at your restaurant, and the food was great. But being in Troy, I haven't gone there very often. So thank you for coming to me.
Ah.
You're welcome.
And I have a question. Are you now making pastilla?
Yeah, so pastilla is something that I put it on the menu and take it off. So it does make its rotation. I try to change the menu every eight months. Pastilla is a kind of sweet, savory meat pie. Mm. So traditionally in Morocco, it's made with pigeon. And it has cinnamon and sugar, powdered sugar and raisins. It can be made with various kinds of seafood and noodles. And it's basically like baked in a pie dough of warka, which is similar to a phyllo dough, right?
Yeah.
So I make my version of that using chicken and honey and raisins. But and if you want pastilla, you can sort of pre-order it 24 hours ahead. So we prep our kitchen to do that. So maybe it'll show up on the menu in Troy. Who knows?
Well, thanks, Liz. That sounds amazing.
Yes,
next
it's
time,
really incredible.
You know what?
Put it in the back of the limo next time you
come to the station. Let's go to Layla in Mount Tremper. You're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. And I missed a lot of the first part of the show. My apologies. So you may have answered this. Is any of what you serve, is any of the meat halal?
Yes. All our meat product is halal. We get Cisco does a fantastic job of making sure that we always stock and serve halal certified food. Yes, absolutely. Very important to us.
Alhamdulillah, because it's not always easy to find, so I appreciate it. Thank
you. No, we make every single effort to make sure that we have halal certified, and if for some strange reason we can't get it, then we just don't have that protein that day.
There you go. Over to Diana in Saugerties. Diana, you're on.
Hi, Ray. I'm really enjoying your subbing for Joe, even though I love Joe.
Oh, thank you.
Anyways, I just made preserved lemons recently, and I used Meyer lemons.
Yeah.
With a recipe, and they're really. I love the flavor of preserved lemon, but this adds it's kind of like a little bit of a lighter, almost nectariney kind of.
Yeah.
The Meyer lemon.
Yeah.
But I'm really enjoying it. It's very light. Light flavor, but thank you for reminding me. Sometimes I forget I have them in the back of my fridge. I'm going to put them in my black bean soup today, I think.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Thanks, Diana. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I look forward to the Troy, checking out. When is the Troy restaurant open?
So we're hoping for a spring opening, if all goes well, you know, and we get everything, cool. Our ducks in row, that kind of stuff.
Well,
yeah.
Spring is on the way.
Spring is, yeah.
All right, very quickly here, we have an important question, I think, from Henry, came in via email. I'm a home chef, love to cook authentic recipes at home from scratch as often as possible. For someone cooking Moroccan food at home, what pantry spices should I look to stock? And you have about 30 seconds.
Yeah, so some sweet paprika, black pepper, cumin. Cumin is a big one in Morocco. Yeah. Cumin, and in fact, there is a Moroccan cumin that's different than the Asian cumin that we're used to. So if you can get your hands on that, ground ginger. Not a lot of fresh ginger in Morocco, but definitely dry ground ginger is used. Coriander powder, fenugreek leaves, rose hips. I mean, the list is endless, but these are the main sort of ingredients that you can kind of have in your spice rack and confidently produce a Moroccan resembling dish.
Anissa Wahid, yeah. Fabulous job.
Thank you.
Great. And we will look to the new opening at Tara Kitchen in Troy. And the link is on our website. Support comes from Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats. Home of New England farm made sausage, open 7 days. Pekarsky's.com. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts. BlueHeronDining.com/catering. Bread and Butter, located in North Amherst's Mill District, offering breakfast and lunch daily from traditional staples to chef specialties such as duck confit hash and maple sriracha pork belly. BreadandButterAmherst.com. And Field Goods, working to help people change the way they eat and support sustainable communities. Local produce from the Hudson Valley, delivered weekly, year-round, to workplace and community locations. Field-goods.com. Thanks again to Anissa Wahid for being here. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Your phones were answered by Barb King. I'm Ray Graff. Stand by for news.